When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to another mashup episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am one of your hosts this week, Professor Chris G, and on the other line with me is the man that goes to battle for me. He goes to town for me. He's my bro to the end. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how the fuck are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm not gonna litigate our pre-show discussion. If this was a different show, maybe, but
not for Pokemon.
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm excited to be on here because this was kind of a last-minute thing. We had a little bit of an opening in our schedule, so we're trying to maximize our minutes and It's kind of interesting because the fine people, they should have heard our first mashup by this point.
Yes.
And we're hoping that
you like it.
The response was, yes, we're hoping that the response has been positive because we really enjoyed doing it.
Yes, so much that we're doing another one.
Yeah.
So we hope that you're enjoying these. It's a way to get through a lot of these episodes. It's a way to have a nice little talking segment in regards to Pokemon and everything. And don't worry, everyone. You're still going to get your codes. Now, I realized, Doug, and this is something like off screen, I realized I didn't do the codes on that last episode. But
right.
I did end up piping in the codes in the episode. So people still got the codes. So they didn't even know that I even went off and did my own thing. They probably did because the audio probably sounded a little different for that short period of time. But yeah, I still gave them their codes.
And you're going to...
What's up?
I was going to say, I'm going to hold my hand up. I realized as we were wrapping up, that is like he didn't do a code, but I like we were like 75% of the way out, and I was like, I don't want to derail this. And then we got to talking about other shit, and then I was like, well, he's a smart man. He realizes he didn't do something.
Yep. So, but I and not only did they get one code, they got three. I gave them three codes.
Well, there you go. So they got nothing to complain about.
And they're going to get three more on this one because we're doing a mashup and we're doing three different episodes. So why not give them three more codes? So you will get three more codes in this. And one thing that you probably, because you don't go through and listen to it because, I mean, you're here recording. But after each episode and before we go into the next segment, I have a nice little Pokeball opening indicating that we're getting ready for the next segment of our show.
Oh, I'm going to have to look at that for this one.
Yes. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know the name of this show until the first segment because we didn't know.
No, we didn't. We didn't, which is why I did not introduce us into a mashup on that episode because we had no idea what we were going to call this show. And then we were like, oh, that's great. That's fucking let's fucking go. So, yeah, that's how we came up with it. It came up last minute as we were editing the show and it got uploaded and boom, mashup.
Yeah, so we hit it because There was a couple a couple titles that I was trying to think of, and a couple of them were taken, and a couple of them, if we would have been taking them, we would have been taken from inappropriate sources. So I was still, and I mean, I'll tell you about it off. I'll tell you off mic when we're done here.
I was about to say, I'm kind of curious right now as to which one of these names was taken. So
yeah, no, I'll tell you off air, because I made note of it, because I just now remembered it, because I'm scrolling through my notes, and I was like, oh right, I was going to tell you, and it would have fit with our discussion before. funny enough, but again, we don't have to relitigate that.
Okay.
But
yeah, today we are doing a mashup of episodes 109, 110, and 111. These episodes being titled Pokemon Food Fight, or translated from Japanese, Burn Cabagon. And then 110 is Pokemon Double Trouble, or Tag Team The Last Gym. I like that one.
Good.
Or 111, The Wacky Watcher, or translated, Koi King, The Secret of Evolution. So
I like that one too.
Yeah, I like that one. Sometimes Japanese titles kind of slaps, and you kind of got to go with this. Which, why didn't they just change a few things around and just keep it like cordial? Like I wouldn't have to do the translation, and it'll be the same for Japanese as it would be for English.
Because a lot of them use the Japanese names for these Pokemon that are translated into English, like.
But even like, okay, I'll go back a few episodes. So Charizard Chills was called Lizardon, I Choose You. Why couldn't they just change it and say Charizard, I Choose You?
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying. No, yeah, you're 100% on that one.
So, all right, everyone. But these episodes, episode 109 premiered August 5th, 1999 in Japan, and August 19th, 2000 here in the States. Episode 110 premiered August 12th of 1999 in Japan, and September 9th here in the States. And The Wacky Watcher premiered August 19th of 1999 and September 16th here in the States. So as you can tell, Pokemon Food Fight kind of came like out of order, but I guess that was just the way that they did the episodes when they were premiering them out here. When it was a filler episode, I guess it didn't matter when they premiered the episode. So,
and boy, was this a filler episode.
But you know what? Let me see. Okay. Never mind. I was about to say, I was like, I know for a fact that after Ash won his gym battle, that he likes to flash his badges at the beginning of the next episode. And I was like, well, they couldn't, but they didn't. They didn't. That wasn't one of them. So those went back to back with each other. So
yeah, that would have sucked if you were watching them as they premiered and you were eagle-eyed enough to go, wait a minute, he's got four badges there.
But he only has three. I only saw three gym battles.
And then it's like the next one starts, and he's like, I bet you he wins at the end of the episode.
Because Pokemon has no chill. So
bastards.
So yeah, all right, and because I didn't do it in the last episode, I'm going to do it at the beginning and hopefully at the end. But before we dive into these episodes, I would like to sit here and say that Spotify is an official sponsor of our podcast. If you are listening to us anywhere else, go ahead and download the Spotify app, look us up, and subscribe there. Every subscription counts when it comes to Spotify. It helps keep the lights on here. And if you're feeling extra generous, go on Patreon at patreon.com/everypokemon, where you can be a guest on our show, or you can get our shows ad free, and that also helps keeps the lights on over here and keeps us doing what we do, everybody. And that's just a small little snippet that I wanted to say because I forgot to say it in the last episode. But there you go.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the last episode, a lot of things were kind of coming together as we were doing it. And, you know, I mean, now that we've established a name for this segment and we've kind of established how we're going to attack it, I think we can kind of shape it to fit in our regular schedules and stuff.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, I think it's time to get into our first episode. You ready? Yes. You ready to start talking about this episode?
I am excited.
All right. So this episode is called
Pokemon Food Fight.
And this was a weird ass episode, bro.
Yes, it was.
Before we get into any of this damn episode, this was a weird ass episode. So we start off with our narrator kind of telling us that our heroes have been trapped on an island for a little over a week now, and that the waves have been way too chaotic for them to be able to move or go anywhere. So, I mean, you have Tracy sitting here and he's looking around and he sees some flowers on the ground, and you're immediately thrown to a kid just jumping up and just like yelling at our heroes.
Is he in the guys?
So, just because you're bigger than I am, you think you could come here and pick on me, do ya? You picked on the wrong kid, because I'm Golzar, the greatest grass Pokemon trainer in the Orange Islands. So get lost!
I'm sorry, I was just looking for some flowers to feed our Pokemon.
You think just because I grow some flowers in my hair, you could come along and use my head as a snack bar for your hungry Pokemon, do ya? How'd you like to have a bath?
This kid kind of has Ash Ketchum disease, in that basically within a few lines of dialogue, he's like, well, oh yeah, well, why don't we battle?
Out of nowhere. So we go straight to like a time card, and they start just fucking battling just out of nowhere. I mean, Ash brings out a Squirtle. This little kid brings out a Gloom. And what the fuck was Ash thinking to use a water Pokemon on a grass Pokemon? Because he has fucking Squirtle use water gun, and Gloom is just sitting there just jumping up and down like, oh, thank you for showering me, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I needed my watering. Yes, I was very confused watching this because he calls for Charizard, and this is Squirtle's Pokeball.
Yes.
And you know, if this was a live action show and it was live, you could say, well, you know, he messed up and they went with it.
Yep.
I chalked it up in my head, at least, so it would make sense that Ash was so hungry, he's like zoned out. So he's just reaching behind, he's just reaching down to his belt
and grabbing anything.
He's like, hopefully this is, you know, and He did the other Ash Ketchum stereotype of, oh, Pokemon I've seen, but I haven't seen in, like, months? Dexter. Because he's seen a Gloom.
Yes, he has. And you want to know where he saw a Gloom? He saw it with, what was her name? It wasn't Erica. Was her name Erica?
I think it might have been Erica.
The grass gym leader over in the Kanto region.
I think it might have been Erica.
Okay. And
so
he saw it there at the fucking gym battle.
Yes. So you would think, okay, Ash has a bad memory. He should remember how he won his badges.
Yeah.
He actually won that badge. It wasn't just a pity badge.
So,
oh boy.
But yeah, we're about to get to the crux of this episode. And the crux of this episode is he calls back Squirtle because Squirtle can't do diddly unless he's doing like Shell Shock or something. So he sends out Snorlax, Why is he sending out Snorlax? We don't know. But he throws his Pokeball, and you see his Pokeball hit a rock. And the impact from the rock completely shatters the bottom of the Pokeball, which is going to be the gist of this episode. So Snorlax comes out. Snorlax is sleeping. Snorlax is always sleeping. And Ash tries to call back Snorlax into the Pokeball, but Snorlax can't go back in because the Pokeball is cracked. And they're in the middle of nowhere. So not only can he not call back Snorlax, but now you have this 800-pound Pokemon sleeping and you can't wake him up. So what do? The little kid kind of makes fun of him. He's like, oh, you're no good Pokemon trainer. You can't even battle me the right way. But guess what? At least you can go back and go to the Pokemon Center and they can repair your Pokeball for you. But guess what? The Pokemon Center is over this hill and you got an 800-pound Pokemon, and good luck getting over that hill with a sleeping Snorlax. And he kind of does the eye droop and the sticking out of the tongue. And he's like, nah.
hadn't seen that in a minute.
I know. And the funny part is, I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit. The little kid does a solar beam attack, which ends up waking up Snorlax, and Snorlax rolls over and he wakes up for a second and he's like, oh, what the hell just happened? And then he's like, I'm going back to sleep. Actually, no, he gets up and he starts going over and he starts sucking the nectar out of Gloom. And Gloom is like, oh no. And the trainer calls back his Gloom before Snorlax eats it, because Snorlax was trying to either suck the nectar out or he was going to full-blown eat that Gloom. And the trainer just kind of goes away, and it kind of goes back to what I said about going over the hill. And I'm going to put this next segment over to you, bro. So what is Ash and Ash, Tracy, and Misty's like agreement as to what they're going to do to get Snorlax over this hill?
So basically they realize that they can't wake up Snorlax, right? I mean, dude's out, you know, I mean, I'm sure we've all been there where we're just dog tired and you can't get us to do nothing. Yep. So they're like, well, what do? We got to get Snorlax up this mountain. So they have like logs, like planks.
Which is not a bad idea if you think about it.
They're basically, Misty's kind of directing traffic, and Tracy and Ash have ropes, and with the aid of the logs, they're intending to drag Snorlax up the hill. But obviously, a few feet, maybe.
They get like 10 feet, and then Ash is like, I need to take a break.
he's like, I need a break. And then Misty gets pissed, and then he shifts. He's like, I'm fine, but Pikachu is exhausted.
And Pikachu looks up and is like, huh?
This is bullshit. This is ridiculous. And then Tracy is sitting there, and he's got what they think is the answer, because he pulls an apple out of his backpack. And it's at this point we're reminded that Misty, Pikachu, Ash, and Tracy are hungry. And he's like, and Ash goes back into selfish mode for a minute. And he's like, oh, are we going to split that evenly? And Tracy's like, no. This is the carrot. And we're going to motivate Snorlax, and we're basically going to use it as bait. And we do a screen wipe, and he has affixed the apple to a piece of string, and he's got the other end, and he's basically going to
try to wake up Snorlax so he can run after the damn apple.
He wants to entice him, and he's like, you know, we'll get Snorlax motivated, and as long as I can stay ahead of him, you know, he'll be chasing the apple, and we'll get up the hill in no time. And no sooner does that sentence leave Tracy's lips than Snorlax
is already already eating the apple.
and he just hum. And Tracy's like, he wasn't supposed to get it. And then, you know, we have a brief image of what Tracy was envisioning. And they're like, well, now what do we do? And
they dress up Ash as a fucking apple.
And they missed a trick here, right? I don't know how they would have done it, and I mean, it's more filler, but this is already a filler episode. There should have been a scene of how they determine who gets in the suit.
Yes.
I mean, I get that it's Ash, and it makes sense that it's Ash because Snorlax is his Pokemon.
I mean, I'm sure that was the conclusion, but whose Pokemon is it?
Right, and then Ash has, you know, it's basically, it's like, who clicked the link, Doug? It's like, okay.
You're so mad.
So, they dress up Ash in this apple costume, which, where did they get the apple costume? I get it, it's a kid's show, but where did they get the apple costume? Seriously.
They made it out of wood.
Yeah, bullshit.
There's a lot of trees around.
And, you know, Tracy, Misty's holding in a laugh, and Ash is like, I don't think this is funny. And Tracy's over there, and he's poking poor Snorlax with a stick.
He's like, come on, Snorlax, look at the apple, look at the big old apple.
He's like, look at the snack, and Ash is like, where's the snack? Dumbass!
And Ash is like, oh, I'm the snack, and he just starts running, and Snorlax is going after him like freaking crazy. I think this is going to be the screen grab. Ash running away with fucking Snorlax chasing him.
Yes, 100%. That would be perfect for this segment, because Ash is booking it, and Snorlax is right behind him, and you know, lo and behold, the strategy is working, and Tracy's drawing up a storm because, I mean, he could make a comic out of it, and they're like, well, what if he catches him? And they're like, oh, we hadn't thought of that, and
lo and behold, Snorlax catches him.
Ash has a good line, and I'm trying to make more notes since we're kind of doing this like whip around style now. We're not going, you know, line by line.
Yeah.
And Ash has this good line because he's running, and he trips. And as soon as he lands, he goes, I'm applesauce.
And Snorlax literally picks him up and tries to take a bite out of the apple, which would have been Ash's butt. And Snorlax is like, oh, it's fake. And he starts to like cry. And then he sits on the ground and goes right back to sleep.
Right. He's like, oh, it's not an apple. And he's just done. He's like, fuck this. I did exercise for nothing. And we kind of get a brief glimpse of how the apple is constructed. Because Ash is upside down because Snorlax dropped him. And Pikachu just opens the apple up.
Yes.
Like, oh, so maybe you were right. Maybe it was made out of like
wood,
some very slapdash like paper mache or something.
And then what's their next idea? They decide to get a craft, a bunch of logs, put it in the water, and just float along the river to the other side so they can go to the Pokemon Center. And not long does it take for them to be sailing down, and then they're like, wait a minute, there's a waterfall over there. Oh no, there's a waterfall over there. And they freaking drop down the waterfall. We get a who's that Pokemon? It's Marowak. Why?
Which I they get half credit for me because Marowak features next episode.
Okay. All right. Then
they get credit. It's not often, so I like to give them credit when I can.
Okay. But yeah, Marowak, and they all need help. Snorri, that water can't be that deep, by the way, because they're down there.
Because Golzar, you know, pops back up because, you know, why not? And he's like, stand up.
And they're like, oh. And they're like, well, you can go over to the Pokemon Center. It's right over there. And there's a long old line at the Pokemon Center. And what was it that Nurse Joy was announcing here?
Basically, that the re-shipment of the food was expected to arrive in a few moments.
Yes.
Because they walk up, and I made note of this because I thought it was funny. They walk up and they see the big line and they're like, do you think everybody broke their Pokeballs like I did? And Misty's like, no, I don't think anybody's as stupid as you, basically. And I was like, ouch! Like, it slipped! You know, like, I mean, we dog on Ash all the time, but, like, that, honestly, like, Pokeball slipped. Like,
for real.
It's not like he was playing mini bowling with it or something.
But the...
She's like...
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. She's like, you know, it should be here in a matter of moments. And they start off in the distance and they hear like a little cargo plane. And he's like, and then Tracy's like, oh, there's the plane. But how's it going to land if there's no airport? And lo and behold, they just dropped the fucking package.
They just dropped the food. And they're like, all right, well, we're not trapped. We're going to get back before the gas runs out of this airplane.
Exactly, because, you know, no place to land.
So they drop the food, and Team Rocket intercepts this food, and they start holding it hostage, and it becomes a big, long battle, of course, between Pikachu and Team Rocket. Meowth has a change of pace here. He has a freaking... Meowth drill robot, which is doing some work on Pikachu. And
what's Team Rocket's budget? Seriously.
they have a credit card, which we find out later on that they've been maxing out like freaking crazy because they got to repay their debt. But Team Rocket and Pikachu ends up Pokemon battling. Snorlax wakes up from his nap and he's like, it's time for me to do some work. And the only we find out why he woke up in just a moment. But Meowth and Snorlax start fighting. And Meowth breaks his hand on a rock, ejects himself out of the robot because the robot's about to explode. And Team Rocket goes blasting off. And then come to find out, all the food that's supposed to be for the entire town. Oh, I would be so mad if I was one of the islanders here. Snorlax runs over to the island of food, or to the box of food for the entire island, and just goes over and just starts eating it.
Just going ham. Just hum, nom, 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 nom. And then gets his fill and just says, I'm done. Boom.
And then Ash goes, it must be a lot later because they skipped the part where Nurse Joy is sitting here yelling at Ash to control his Pokemon because it just ate up the whole entire town's worth of food. I wonder if he had to pay for that.
You know, we very rarely touch on finances when it comes to Ash. Because he's going around to these different islands, and even before that, he was traveling through all these cities to get, you know, Kanto and stuff. And he's eaten, and I mean, I understand that they stay the night when they can. They either camp or they can't. They find shelter in a Pokemon Center. So I mean, I get that you're not spending, you know, you're not spending money on lodging.
Yes.
And I think there was something where they could eat for free because
they're Pokemon trainers.
It was a Pokemon trainer, but that was mentioned one time, and that was, I think, a specific instance. So I don't know. I mean, you start having this conversation, and like it literally just popped into my head that he's 10, and it would make a lot of sense for him to not, you know, be walking around with a
wad of cash,
bank card, you know, or a wad of cash.
Because we still don't know how he gets money after these gym battles, because it's never said as to how they get it. So I don't know. That's a question for another day.
If Pokemon was going on in, you know, in 2024, you know, Ash would just be sending a Venmo request to his mom or something.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, where do you think I'm getting all this money from? You know, and
Professor
Oak. I don't know what you and Mr. Mime get up to.
Professor Oak pays you for your time.
There he goes. There you go with your Professor Oak. And
but all right. But Ash is giving back his Pokeball. It seems like Nurse Joy was able to repair it, and he calls back his Snorlax. And that was the episode. How do we get Snorlax back into the Pokeball?
He went in it.
Well, no, it's just that's what the episode should have been called. How to get Snorlax back into its Pokeball.
And I did want to point out before we move on that Team Rocket almost legitimately got Pikachu, because they were at one point before the battle kind of kicked off and their robot fell to shit. They were like, look, we'll give you the food. All he has to do is give us Pikachu.
Yeah.
And the fucking Islanders turned on him so quick.
It's like, that's it?
and Golzar, of all people, had to stand up and be like, y'all should be ashamed of yourself. You know, turning on a fellow Pokemon trainer for the benefit of yourself and your own Pokemon. You know, Pokemon training is a brotherhood and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then,
Golzar didn't want to help anybody, he could have ran over there, got Nurse Joy, told him, hey, we got a Snorlax that's down. Can you get transportation over to help these kids out? But no.
Or, you know, where's the Nurse Jenny, or the Nurse Jenny? Officer Jenny, Jiminy Cricket. Where's the Officer Jenny on this island, you know?
For real.
So, you know, you got to make 22 minutes or whatever.
But that was the episode. So, good episode. It was funny. It did its thing.
Yeah, but I think this would have been one of the episodes where if we were doing it on our original format, I think we would have been grasping at straws.
Yeah, we would have. All right, bro. Well, that was a good episode, but I think it's time to go ahead and get ready to start on to our next episode that we have. And this one should be, not that it's a bad episode, but it's a very good episode, but very cut and to the point. So I think
very straightforward.
Very straightforward, and we can have kind of a little discussion as to what's going on with this episode. But the next episode that we're going to be going over is
Pokemon Double Trouble,
and this is Ash's final gym battle before he goes and to compete in the Orange Island League. And so, of course, I mean, we've talked about it significantly in the past. But I mean, yes, Ash does end up winning this gym battle, but we're going to tell you how he ends up winning this gym battle, because it's a tactic that we don't see too often in Pokemon. And I like the way that they introduce this into the game. Right, Doug?
Right, right.
So,
because it's one of my favorite, just speaking of the battle mechanics, and I mean, we're going to discuss it. I'm a fan of the double team battles like that they introduce later in the game.
To kind of peel the curtain back a little bit, your favorite type of matches in wrestling are tag team matches. So when they introduced that into this episode, I knew you were going to love it right then and there. Right, Doug?
Especially because you see, like, the interplay between the different Pokemon and, like, how they work together to, like, form their attacks and stuff.
Absolutely. So, and that's what we end up getting in this episode. But, of course, it doesn't just fully start that way. So, let's go ahead and jump on into this episode. So, our heroes are riding, they start off by riding on the back of Lapras, and Ash is getting all hyped up and he's looking up at Pikachu. He's like, Pikachu, we're going to go there. We're going to win this gym battle and I'm going to get this final one so I can go into the Orange Island League. And Pikachu is like, yeah, let's go. And we get the title sequence and they get off the boat and there's this lady who's looking for her son and she's screaming her son's name.
My boy! Sonny boy, it's Mama Wama! Come to Mama Wama! Oh, my son is back with his mama!
And she sees Ash and she just starts barreling down the walkway where the ships are and where everyone is getting off of the ship to get onto the island. And she goes and literally smothers Ash like into her boobs. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad. And Ash kind of looks up and he's like, hey, woman, look at me. Hey, I appreciate everything that you're doing, but I have my own mother.
Got me.
And she's like, oh, you're not my son? He's like, no, I'm not your son. She's like, oh, well, you look just like my son. And when he left to go on his Pokemon journey, he had a Pikachu just like yours. And we go to a shot of this little boy saying bye. And I'm sorry, but this boy, I mean, could it look like Ash a little bit? Maybe, but this boy's face don't look nothing like Ash's.
If you only saw, if you squint, yes. If you only saw the fellow from behind, maybe, and he did have a Pikachu. So it's not like, oh, my son Travis left with his Jigglypuff. It's like, yeah. Well, you know, here's a kid walking, onto the shore. And he's wearing a baseball cap and he's got a Pikachu on his shoulder. More than 50-50 that it's him.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
In all fairness.
So, but we slowly find out that this gym leader's name is Luana, and she is the island's gym leader. And let me find out what the name of, they're on Kumquat Island. Who the fuck came up with this? Who the fuck?
Right.
No, that's not why I'm laughing, but who the fuck came up with this name?
I mean, hasn't there been a grapefruit island or something?
Yeah, but a kumquat?
It's a fruit.
A kumquat is a fruit?
It's a fruit. I've never had one, but it's a fruit.
I had no idea that that was a fruit. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, okay, what the fuck? that's literally what I was thinking when I was watching this episode. I was like, who the fuck comes up with kumquat?
Oh, so you were having a ball watching some of these episodes we were covering today. You're like, what the fuck is going on in these last two episodes?
For real. And there's a little bit in the last episode. I was like, these three episodes, I was like, God damn.
What the hell's going on here?
All right, bro. Well, I've gone through about 5 minutes of this episode. I'm going to hand this next part over to you with Team Rocket and the Rhydon Drill Pokemon.
So they've got this big... So again, this is another benefit of our Poke matchup for our mashup format. I apologize. Because... in previous iterations, I'd have to refer to last week, but with this format, I can refer to, you know, 15, 20 minutes ago when we had that brief discussion about what the fuck is Team Rocket's budget, because what the fuck is their budget? Because
they're like the Meowth one was only like a couple thousand. Like, what's a couple extra $10,000 here for this one?
And, you know, this gym leader's freaking out. And she, because, you know, fucking bad guys with a robot, you know, just rocking up on her peaceful island. And freaking Ash and the crew don't help because, they're bad guys. It's like they're bad guys that you can beat in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That you have beaten in 2 minutes.
And inside of this Rhydon thing, so Team Rocket was like, we don't need a motor for an extra $45. Let's have our Pokemon run on freaking treadmills and have a whipping stick right behind them to whip them into running. I felt so bad for Arbok and Licking Tongue.
Bro, I didn't even... Okay, two things. Because A, I didn't catch the whips first. And B, they have a snake on a fucking treadmill.
Yes, they do.
What the fuck is going on here?
Well, are you really going to put a weeping bell on there? That's even worse.
That's even worse, and obviously Weezing floats.
Yes.
Fucking Meowth.
No, Meowth. Meowth is a part of the team.
Shit. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, they put a fucking snake on a fucking trip on a treadmill, and they're whipping it. And freaking Lickitung, I feel bad for Lickitung because Lickitung has to do like 75% of the work while Arbok is doing 25.
He's like, I am not having a good time right now.
This is not fun. I did not sign up for this. What the fuck am I doing?
And then, The robot opens its mouth, and did Jesse say that it was supposed to be a hyper beam attack? And they're like, oh, but it can't be because James has been too lazy and didn't teach Weezing that attack.
Yeah, that's exactly. So he's like hyper beam, but and they take and the machine literally has a hand with a hammer that comes over and smacks Weezing, who was sleeping.
Smacks Weezing in the head with a hammer.
It's like. Bunk. And Weezing is like, oh shit, yeah, hyper beam, wait a minute, I don't know that smog,
I don't know that one.
So he just starts doing smog and they totally throw him under the bus, and Meowth is like, yeah, well, he didn't teach it hyper beam yet. And Jesse's like, are you serious? You had one job, James, one job, and you had a whole week.
I beg to differ. James, poor James has like 20 jobs.
but whenever it's convenient for Jesse, he has one job. and that is the job that he is supposed to be doing at that very time that is going on inside of her head.
Well, because Jesse sees herself as the freaking mouthpiece, and apparently the
Jesse's the brains,
and the man. Yeah, there you go.
She's the man.
She's the man.
Becky Lynch.
Well, she has hair.
Yeah, for real. But all right, I chimed in on your thing because it was just too fucking funny. All right, so Weezing does Smog, Doug.
So Weezing does Smog, and they fucking basically pulled poor James's pants down, and the machine is just wreaking havoc, and they're like, oh my god, what do we do? And the poor islanders, the townspeople, are running, with fear, and freaking Meowth is like, well, I don't know. And then freaking Ash does his best impersonation of fucking a protester at Tiananmen Square and just fucking stands in front of this thing and is like, you shall not pass. And this dude is the epitome of like main character syndrome. I mean, I understand it's his show. Well, it's Pikachu's show, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, we'll show you. And they they hit a button and they elevate. Pardon me. They elevate Arbok into Weezing's position, and then Arbok shoots Poison Sting, and
Luana sends out her Alakazam to use Psychic.
Yes, because Ash is dead to rights, and Alakazam comes out and he puts up a force field and he blocks the needles, and they're like, that's good work there, Alakazam. And then, she's like scolding Team Rocket like the mother that she is. And Ash is kind of like,
Thank you. You seem
very confident. And she's like, well, I should be. I'm a mother. And then something is said about Jesse being an old crone, and she kind of flies off the handle because
they call me old.
She puts up this tough exterior, but at the end of the day, she's a very vain woman. And this is when we find out that Luana is the gym leader.
Yes.
And Ash kind of has a heart attack. Well, not a heart attack. He almost shits his pants. He's like, oh my god, you're a mother and a gym leader? And Jesse's like, I don't give a shit if she's the president. She can't be calling me old. And
she fucking sends her Alakazam to use psychic attack to shut the mouth of the damn Rhydon as Weezing is using Smog to smog up the entire freaking Rhydon machine. And then freaking Charizard comes out, burns a hole into it, and just blows it up with a flamethrower.
So how weak is this fucking, like, mechanical fucking material? A little bit of flame. Well, a little bit. I mean, I don't want to short change Charizard, but goddamn.
And that's when we end up getting the who's that Pokemon, and it's Dodrio.
I can't give him credit this week.
Yeah,
this time.
I can't either. I can't.
Can't do it.
But Ash ends up asking Luana for a gym battle, and she agrees. She says that I'll gym battle you tomorrow, but in the meantime, you can come over to my hotel, and inside of my hotel is the Pokemon gym, and I'll go ahead and show you around. You guys can live like kings and queens, which they might as well be, because she walked into the hotel and she's greeted by the entire staff. There's like 10 waiters right there. Oh, welcome back, Luana. Like, what the?
She literally is like Queen Bee around here. Like, there's like nobody at the front desk or anything. They're all just in a line, like freaking John Cena at that one WrestleMania entrance.
Yeah. So, this dates back, and we'll see how much our audience remembers this. Or when Eminem did the MTV VMAs.
Oh, yeah.
And he had all of those guys in a line that looked like Slim Shady as he ran down. Oh, man. Throwback.
Good pull there.
So, hats off to all my Eminem fans. All right. Yeah. But this is where she introduces. She's like, tomorrow we're going to have a tag team Pokemon battle. And Ash is like, oh, well, what Pokemon am I going to end up using? I don't really know. And they go into the hot. She has a hot spring inside of this hotel, and they're just kind of thinking about who they're going to use. And Ash kind of freezes, and he's in the hot tub for way too long, and he freaking almost second degree burns himself. And then we go into the gym battle, which I will give this part over to you. We're almost done with this episode, Doug.
A couple observations about the hot tub or the hot springs. I guess it is a hot spring.
Yes.
Pikachu and Misty are like playing in the bubbles with Togepi. It's fucking adorable.
It's cute.
Once Ash, like, I don't know, like has an episode and like almost boils himself alive, Misty has this, it's a dumb line, but I laughed out loud. She's like, well, at least you won't have to warm up for the match tomorrow. Son of a bitch, he almost died, and you're cracking one-liners. yeah, so we're getting ready for the battle.
This battle pits visiting Pallet Town trainer Ash Ketchum against Kumquat gym leader and Orange Crew member Luana. The challenger stands to win a Jade Star badge. The trainers have agreed in advance that this match will be conducted as a double Pokemon battle.
Well, Ash, these are the Pokemon I'm using. Alakazam! And Marowak!
Alakazam! Marowak!
I choose Pikachu, and I choose Charizard!
And
he can finally utilize Charizard when Charizard's listening to him.
Yes, and you would think, oh, well, this is a dream team because, you know, if we just think about it in terms of, you know, levels in the game, Pikachu, what do you think? Minimum 60 somewhere.
And same with Charizard.
And Charizard, I was going to say he has to be a minimum of 35 to be evolved. And yeah. Although, to be fair, he wasn't getting that much run when he wasn't listening.
No, he wasn't.
But, you know, they're like, okay, so it's fucking, you know, it's Dream Team, you know, let's go. So Pikachu is getting ready to kind of assume its position because it's going to get the first attack, and Charizard literally puts his foot down
to stop, like, Pikachu.
Like, I'm big man on campus, and Pikachu's like, oh, is that how it's going to be? And kind of starts sparking its cheeks, and Charizard's like, still bigger than you, and just goes, pwah! And and Pikachu's like, motherfucker, it just goes zap. And then Charizard goes, pwah. And, you know, they're sitting there and they go, and then Ash gets in the middle and he's like, you're supposed to be fighting the other people, not each other. And, you know, Misty and Tracy are like, well, this is hopeless. He can't even get his team on the same page. And, you know, Alakazam and Marowak are getting ready to attack. And then, you know, Charizard goes, and then Pikachu uses its speed to get in front of Charizard, which works out literally to bite Pikachu in the ass, because Charizard does a flamethrower and catches poor Pikachu's tail.
Yes. I felt bad. And Pikachu's like, really, bro? Really? Really?
Like, is this what we're doing? Really?
Really? So
I was on that beach rubbing your cold ass myself.
I was helping. I helped too, even though Ash is taking all the freaking credit. But yeah, no, Ash is about to have an aneurysm, and he's like, "You guys need to work together." And freaking, you have Alakazam over here using freaking psychic on Charizard and just full blown, just picking him up, slamming him to the ground, and then taking its bone and just using boomerang and just whack, whack, whack. And Pikachu's just watching this like, maybe I should go in and help. And Charizard's sitting here like, no shit.
Like, well, motherfucker, you burnt my tail. Like, I'm still a little hurt there, you know.
But they end up getting onto the same page, and Pikachu ends up riding on the back of Charizard, which is how it should have been, and freaking winning the battle with I believe it was a Thundershock and a Flamethrower, and both Alakazam and Marowak are down for the count, and Ash ends up winning his fourth gym battle. But there were some cases in here where Pikachu saved Charizard from getting hit by Thundershocking Marowak, and when Pikachu got slapped across the face and when it was flying in the air, Charizard put up its wing to catch it, and so that they could be on the same team and win this gym battle for Ash, because that's why they're here.
And I did want to do a little bit of house cleaning and mention that, like, yes, they got on the same page, but there was also like some really fluky occurrence, because after Charizard saved Pikachu from going into the wall, and we had like a flying Thundershock attack, and they deflected Marowak's bone, and they caught Alakazam like mid move, and the power from the move went across the ground after Marowak's bone collided with Alakazam, which knocked Marowak out. So yeah, they won, but Marowak and Alakazam kind of took themselves out.
Yeah. So, but in fashion, Ash still ended up winning the gym battle, and he got his last badge.
The gym leaders Pokemon Marowak and Alakazam are unable to continue the battle. Victory goes to the challenger.
It's all over.
We did it! We won! You two are amazing. I knew you could make a great team.
Congratulations, Ash.
That was an awesome ending, Ash.
You did a fine job, Ash.
Yeah, I mean, yes, ma'am.
And now, as Kumquat Island gym leader and a member of the Orange Crew, I happily present to you this token of your victory.
Yes! My final badge! The Jade Star!
Big Pikachu!
Now he is ready to go on to the Orange Island League, which we only which we have in a couple episodes, bro.
Yes, I'm really excited, because that stuff, that if you like battling, that's peak battle.
Yes. So,
which I mean, you should like battling if you're watching a Pokemon podcast.
So we literally have, and we can probably chop this up into, let's see, we can probably do two more episodes of this. And yeah, I think we'll be done, because we can kind of flow through a lot of this. One of these might be an extra long like mashup with four, but we have seven episodes left. And okay. Yeah. So
yeah, I would love to be able to attack the actual Orange Island like league in one shot. Like I would love to do like a mega mashup if we have to.
Yeah, and that's two episodes by itself. So what we can probably do is the episode after this one, we'll be going over that, and that will be the when Ash goes into the Orange League, because the last two episodes are the Orange Island episodes, and then we'll go through. Actually, we'll do the next four, because the episode after that he's being crowned as champ, and then we got the last three episodes of the Orange Island. So yeah,
right.
So. All right, but yeah, that was basically it in this episode. That was the whole episode in a nutshell. What's up?
I was gonna say, like we said at the outset, a very focused episode.
Yes, very very straightforward. Which and then we go into this wacky like last episode, which is this episode that we're gonna. Review. I hope it's easy for us to kind of talk about it for a second. And I don't want to spend too long on it because of what the episode was, but this episode was kind of all over the place.
It really was. This episode was focused a lot, and you might roll your eyes. This episode was focused a lot on dialogue.
Yes. So.
And, you know, because when we meet this fella, he's got a lot of zingers.
Just a little bit. So, all right. So we're going to put a stamp on Double Trouble, and we're going to get ready to go into...
The Wacky Watcher!
All right, so let's go ahead and get the episode up here, Doug, because like we said before, this the Wacky Watcher is it's an episode.
It's an episode.
So, as you're pulling it up, I'll go ahead and start this up, and I can kind of sum up the beginning of this episode. So I'm going to kind of brief you guys into what this episode is. This is a filler episode, everyone. Mm-hmm. And this episode is more along the lines of Pokemon watching. So very Tracy heavy and this wacky, Pokemon watcher. And
his name, and I mean,
they only say his name like 20 million times, but it's Quackenpoker.
Quackenpoker, yeah.
Quincy T. Quackenpoker is his name.
Oh, I didn't catch his first. Did they say his first name? I did not know his first name was Quincy.
Yeah, that's how he introduces himself. He's like, "I am Quincy T. Quackenpoker." And then
that's clutch.
So that's his name, and I'll let you go into the behind the scenes of this character that they ended up coming up with here in the English version, because I didn't catch it because I didn't know, but you caught it right off the bat. So I'll let you get into that in just a second. But our heroes start this episode, of course, with Ash looking at all four of his badges, and they're going through the water, and a submarine flies underneath them. And then this guy pops up, and he's just taking out his binoculars, and he's like, "Ah.
Huh? Ah, company. You're here just in time for the rush hour. If my observations are correct, we're about to see one of the most astounding scenes ever seen on the seas. Now we'll see what we shall see.
I wonder what this guy's talking about.
What could happen way out in the middle of the ocean?
I don't know, but maybe we should hang around and find out."
And then you see a whole flock of Magikarp just come flying through the water, and it starts making waves in the water. And Ash and his friends and Lapras are kind of waving back, but they're like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And this Pokemon watcher, who we find out is Mr. Quackenpoker, is looking at the tails of all these Magikarp, and they have these nice low colored rings around. So as we're going through, they follow this guy over to the island, and Mr. Quackenpoker is like, oh, there's some people here. Well,
What's better than Pokemon watching is a little bit of people watching.
Yeah, people watching. And he gets Misty, Tracy, and Ash to carry his belongings. Still hasn't introduced himself yet. And they're like, wait
a minute.
Gives
Pikachu a little trunk, too. It is fucking adorable.
I know. And and he's like, oh, well, thank you guys for helping me. My name is Quincy T. Quackenpoker. And what is the meaning behind this name, Doug?
Right. So, because when we got on here and we were kind of doing our pre-discussion before, you took it completely off the rails.
Yep.
Still not over it.
I know.
You're like, you know, I did not get who this guy was supposed to be in the Wacky Watcher. And I was like, oh, that's Groucho Marx. And you're like, who the heck is Groucho Marx? Groucho Marx was part of the comedy troupe, the Marx Brothers, who got their start in vaudeville and made several black and white movies in the mid to late 1930s, maybe even into the 40s. And he speaks with a very New York-centric accent, kind of like, oh, you know, what's the secret void kind of stuff. And has very similar glasses to the Quackenpoker caricature here. Groucho's mustache didn't really turn down like Quackenpoker's does. And I'm sure we would cover it when we get into the episode, but since I'm kind of given the backstory, because there's a couple of lines that he says that are lifted from like Marx Brothers movies.
Gotcha.
So this was extremely obvious, and I had a smile on my face watching this episode because I was like, I forgot this episode was this close to the end of the Orange Islands.
And here you are educating me because I had no idea about this guy.
Yeah, you're like, well, this guy made no sense. And I was like, actually, it makes perfect sense. But, like, there's only a handful of Pokemon. And I wouldn't have gotten this as a kid. Because I didn't find out about the Marx Brothers until they started showing them on, like, Turner Classic Movies and shit. And
oh.
You know, you got to think this is before everyone and their mother had a streaming service. So you actually had to watch television.
Yes. So they get onto this island. They start following Mr. Quackenpoker. And Mr. Quackenpoker calls himself a Pokemon watcher. And they end up camping at one spot. So Mr. Quackenpoker can examine all the Magikarp that are coming through. And Misty kind of, she's like, if you've seen one Magikarp, you've seen them all. Why are we stopping here? You would have thought this would have been one of her dreams to just sit
for
here
real
to watch these damn Magikarp because they're water Pokemon. But I guess you can't make her happy with every water Pokemon.
But doesn't she have a... And I mean, I would have to go back and look through the episodes, but didn't she have like something about, you know, Magikarp might not be a lot to be cracked up about, but they evolve in. Oh, okay. Mistake.
She likes Tentacruel because not everyone sees the beauty in them. So
my mistake. And that was just a couple episodes ago. So I completely. Okay. My mistake.
But Tracy and Mr. Quack and Poker kind of bond. They're looking over at these Magikarp, and he kind of goes over the bands, and he says the Magikarp with the red band are only 1 year, or was the band was put on them 1 year ago. The blue band was 2 years ago, and the yellow band was 3 years ago. And he's like, I've just been examining these Magikarp, and every time they come back, I add to my files. And he's like, even though they all go their separate ways, once a year, they all come back here for whatever reason. And I just study them because they are my favorite type of Pokemon.
And then they're kind of like Magikarp.
Yeah. So, and this is where we get into the Team Rocket part of this episode. I'll hand this part over to you, my brother.
So, you know, they're sitting there and they're like, oh, there's the twerps. And I've never seen this guy before. And they look at all the freaking Magikarp. And I was pissed because not one mention of James is Magikarp.
No, not at all. And I was mad too. I was like, he does technically have a Gyarados, but his Gyarados is like Ash's Charizard at one point and just didn't like him and was like, bye.
Oh, that's right. He did evolve.
Yeah.
Because he kicked him.
Yeah, he kicked him and he evolved to spite him and then blew a freaking solar beam at him.
God, Team Rocket was assholes. Or they still are. I forgot it because he kicked him and then he evolved and then they're like, I got a Gyarados, and then he almost killed him.
Yep.
So, and, you know, Meowth and James are kind of, you know, over it, kind of like Misty because it's Magikarp. And this is where I started to be pissed because Jesse had to be the one to have to be like, you idiots. Magikarp evolve into Gyarados. Not one mention of, oh, we almost died that one time on that ship.
Yeah. No, they're not going to mention that.
They have the attention span of a Magikarp, apparently.
Yes.
And Jesse gets this idea in her head about having a fleet of Gyarados. and just wrecking havoc and just, you know, basically being Cersei Lannister before Cersei Lannister was a thing. Yeah, Game of Thrones reference. I don't even watch the fucking show.
No, I know. I liked it. I liked it.
No, I was like, that's it. Water dragons. I mean,
I kind of had an issue with this episode just a little bit, if I might veer off just a tad, Doug. So,
oh, go ahead.
Team Rocket's whole plan was to get all of these Magikarp. Now, even though these Magikarp have bands on their fins, they're technically wild Magikarp. So it doesn't matter how you capture these Magikarp, but these Magikarp are free to anybody. So why, I mean, we're going to get into it in this episode, but why is Ash and Quack and Poker, I still laugh at his name. Why are they so mad when Team Rocket is legally, they're actually for once legally obtaining these Magikarp in this episode?
Well, no, I will push back on legally, because legally would be if they rocked up with freaking 20,000 Pokeballs and just started pow, pow, pow. But they're, you know, they catch Pokemon in the way the Team Rocket catches Pokemon, which fucking...
In a net.
In a net or a giant machine.
So, okay. Because
if they would have sat there and just had like a Pokeball pitching machine and it was just picking them off, I mean, that's a catch. You can't, you know...
You see, Team Rocket didn't think about getting that out of the catalog.
That's the joke of the episode. We can stop now. That's the joke of the episode. They didn't go through the catalog. That's fucking perfect.
So
they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough fucking pokey points.
Yeah, they didn't have enough credit. They rammed it up on that damn Meowth machine and the Rhydon in the last two episodes.
Yeah, well, the Rhydon was a killer.
Yeah. $10,000 and you didn't want to put $45 more to get a motor?
just the fucking shipping cost alone.
So, all right, Doug, I'll let you finish off your section of the episode.
So we come to a waterfall, and we kind of see that these Magikarp have to kind of cross this final hurdle, like this rite of passage about, you know, basically swimming up the waterfall.
Yes.
And they're sitting there and they're like, well, because they're watching, right? And they're like, well, what if they don't, what if they don't make it up? And Quack and Poker's like, well, they die. No, they don't die. he's like, well, they just try it again. And we see one with a blue band and he gets about halfway up and he doesn't make it. And he's like, they're determined little buggers. They're going to keep at it until they eventually make it to the top. And Ash and the crew are sitting there cheering. They're like, oh, you're so close. You got it. You know, and, you know, I have to give Ash credit because he didn't say, well, why don't we just help him? You know, because he could easily just take Bulbasaur and be like, pick them all up. Well, that's bullshit.
That's cheating. So they have to be able to make it up the waterfall all by themselves.
And this is where we run into Team Rocket again. And they're literally standing at the crest of the waterfall.
Right up
with fucking butterfly nets.
Yes.
Not a big, like,
you know what? Well, coming from a fisher, like I go fishing a couple of times a year, right?
Sure.
A net is technically a legal way for catching fish. You can have a fishing rod and then you can scoop up the fish with a net. So they were technically doing it the right way. In a way.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, this is where we start talking about the gray areas of the legal system.
And, I mean, we did get a Poliwag as the Who's That Pokemon for this episode. But, yeah, Team Rocket's sitting there and they're getting these Magikarp as they're coming up and they're scooping them up, and then one of them they got a big one. They got a big ass fucking Magikarp, and they put it on the ground, and this Magikarp was one of the 3-year tenured Magikarp. So This Magikarp had a little bit more weight on it. So it's on the ground, and instead of taking a damn Pokeball and just catching it, they see that it's trying to flop back into the water, and they jump on top of it. And this Magikarp is so strong. Can you imagine this thing evolving into a Gyarados? But it's so strong that it literally flops with all of them on top of it back into the water.
And it goes down like 3 or 4, like breaks in the stream, and just down and down and down.
Yes.
And Ash is kind of sitting there and goes, what was that sound? And they're like, we didn't hear anything.
But we go a little further into the episode. We have a cute moment while they're sitting down eating some lunch there. It looks like they're eating some peanut butter sandwiches. And Mr. Quack and Poker basically tells Misty that he's come across other Togepis, and this is where they like to be pet, right here. And he starts rubbing the tip of Togepi's spike on the front of its head, and Togepi's like, oh, I like that a lot. And Misty was like, oh, well, thank you for telling me. And I'll let you take on this next part, brother.
So we transition to the night. And we see that our trio has set up a tent, and Ash and Misty are actually sleeping next to each other, Pikachu's knocked out. Togepi is closed up. I was searching for the right verb. I was like, rolled up? That's not right. And Tracy and Quackenpoker are still sitting by the fire, and they are trading theories about why the Magikarp return to this spot every year.
Yes.
And Tracy's got a theory about being drawn to the sun, and Quackenpoker is like, well, that's all well and good, except if that was the case, they'd be going in the opposite direction. And Tracy's like, I must clearly have a lot to learn. And Quackenpoker's like, well, I've been at this a long time. And, you know, it's just little things that you pick up along the way. And
then we get the water starting to rumble.
Yes. And then as legendary JR would say, business is about to pick up.
Yes. So Team Rocket starts rumbling its jets inside of the water, and they're using their Magikarp submarine to swallow up all these Magikarp inside. But what they didn't count on was that these Magikarp would end up weighing down the submarine. So they have to start releasing some of the Magikarp in order to get away with a lot more of the Magikarp. So they start getting they flop back up onto the land, and they're like, well, we have to get rid of a lot of these Magikarp, and they're tossing out a few of them at our heroes. Our heroes are like, oh, well, stop it. And
throwing fish.
I know. And out of nowhere, their machine scoops up Pikachu. How they got Pikachu in the jar, I still don't know, because I'm rewinding this scene like 10 times, and it still doesn't make any sense how they got Pikachu in that jar. But they got Pikachu in the jar, and of course it's the stereotypical electric jar where Pikachu can shock it, but nothing's gonna happen.
Meow. It's time.
Mind your P's and Q's and Pikachu's.
Pikachu, Thunderbolt attack!
Hold it! Pikachu's Thunderbolt will give the Magikarp the shock of their lives!
Yeah, you're right! I choose you, Bulbasaur!
Ash throws out his Bulbasaur to try to help save some of these Magikarp, along with trying to save Pikachu at this point, but they're playing hot potato with Pikachu. And it finally gets all the way over to Jesse, and Bulbasaur realizes it's just floating in the air. He's like, wait a minute, I'm in a cartoon. Ah!
I didn't catch that. He literally does the Wile E. Coyote. Holy shit. This is a great episode.
And Bulbasaur is like, well, I'm about to fall. And then Ash is like, return Bulbasaur. So he returns Bulbasaur back into its Pokeball. And it's at this point that James is rubbing his face because it got hit by Bulbasaur's vine whip, and he's like, ah, well, this freaking hurts. And then a Magikarp jumps up and suctions right onto James' head, and James is like, oh no, get it off. And Meowth and Jesse are sitting there like, oh, we're trying. Quackenpoker looks over and he's like, they're going to tear that man's head off. And he's like, you can't do it like that. And he climbs on top of the submarine and he just starts to rub Magikarp's head. And Magikarp is like, oh, I like that. And then he unsuctions from James' head, and James is like, oh, my head is free. And of course, Doug, what happens to all the Magikarp at the towards the end of this episode? Oh, by the way, Ash got Pikachu back as well.
Yeah, just got Pikachu back, and all the all the confusion, and Ash jumps off of the little submarine, and then all of a sudden the Magikarp that Quack and Poker pulled off of James's head starts to glow, and he puts it down, and then all of a sudden just this fucking ginormous flash of light just takes over the entire lake, shoots up into the sky, and
because unbeknownst to us, it's not just one Magikarp, it's multiple.
It's fucking all of them. And all this, just randomly, Togepi walks out and goes, "Oh my goodness," and just starts jumping up and down. And then the freaking, the waves pick up a little bit, and Ash just takes the lid off of the jar like no big fucking deal. And they're like, "What's happening, Professor?" And he's like, I've heard rumors of this, but I've never seen it in person." And it's this big freaking whirlpool just comes up, and Team Rocket, of course, because if they didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. And they get literally tossed out of the whirlpool back into the sky. And then all of a sudden, the Magikarp come flying out of the whirlpool, and they start evolving one by one into a whole pack of Gyaradoses. And Ash, I'm so pissed at I'm just now putting two and two together as I'm watching the scene in front of me. He's watching this incredible, like, miracle of nature, right?
Yes.
Doesn't pull out Dexter to get explanation.
Well, he's seen Gyarados before.
Well, he's got selective memory because he's seen Gloom before.
Well, he literally almost died when he saw Gyarados, if you don't remember, in the Tentacruel episode. Maybe he's traumatized. Maybe that's why he didn't throw out a Pokeball to try to catch one of these, because he's like, this is going to bring up really bad memories from about a month ago when I almost died in a ship.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what? I'm calling it now. Boom. I figured it out, Doug. Ash sued the Saint Anne, and he has all this money now, and that's how he's able to pay for everything.
Boom. Mystery solved.
Because he almost died. He told his mother and Professor Oak, and they're like, "Say less." And they just fucking took over.
Because I could see Mrs. Ketchum turning into a bit of a canary.
Yeah. I could too.
And I mean, to be fair, if he was, he almost did die on this ship. So yeah, I could see. There you go.
And he was exposed to a bunch of fumes.
Yeah, he was all kind of fucked up.
But to wrap this episode up, everybody, I know you're ready to get on out of here. The Gyarados and Magikarp, not all the Magikarp evolved. So. Right. They start swimming away, and the Gyarados start swimming away, and Mr. Quack and Poker and Tracy have these clicker
stopwatches,
so they can count all the Gyarados that evolved and how many Magikarp are still there to evolve for next year. So they're sitting there counting, and they let them all go away, and they're gone for the day. And as soon as the Gyarados goes away, the sun starts coming up, because apparently this was all an all-nighter. And that's literally how we end the episode. And then we come to find out that where Team Rocket blasted off from the Whirlpool, they're literally sitting around a whole bunch of Gyarados going around in circle. And I'm guessing that they stayed there until Gyarados blasted them off somewhere else.
And to tie a bow on what Quack and Poker and Tracy were tracking, it turns out that 70% of the Magikarp evolved, which is the highest number that Quack and Poker has been tracking, or has tracked, I should say.
Yes.
So he's thrilled, and Tracy's thrilled because he's kind of seen like the peak of his profession. And I like that Tracy got an episode that
that was nice, wasn't it?
That they're treating Pokemon watching seriously, and It's good stuff.
It's real good stuff. So, but yeah, that was the end of this episode. So let's go ahead and do our due diligence, Doug. Pokemon Food Fight. One to five stars. What? How many stars are you giving that episode?
2.5, because I did chuckle a couple times.
Okay, I'll give it a solid 2. And the reason I'll give it a 2 is because, I mean, we didn't really need the episode. There was a lot of common sense. Like there's 3 of them, and the common sense that they came up with in that episode just dumbfounded me as to how they were going to get that. I would have left Snorlax. Snorlax would have been there when they came back, or I would have just sent Ash. I mean, Ash goes off and gets things done. I mean, what would have stopped him from climbing that hill by himself and going back and just meeting back up with Tracy and Misty at that point?
Well, but then we're sitting there going, Ash, abandon another Pokemon.
All right. Pokemon Double Trouble. I'll do this one first. I'll give that a solid 4. That was a good episode, and it made sense, and it also introduced a new way to Pokemon battle that we haven't seen up until this point.
Yeah, I'm going to be lazy and go right with 4. I think if I'd have known what could get it to an extra half a point, because it's not a perfect episode. We had a perfect episode last week.
Yes.
A couple episodes ago. This wasn't it. I mean, you know, you're automatically at a certain level because it was a gym battle and they actually treated battling seriously, and Team Rocket was somewhat competent for maybe 5 minutes. But yeah, I'm comfortable with a 4 because it, you know, Ash got his final gym badge. We know he's got his sights set on the Orange League, and yeah.
Yes. And then we have the Wacky Watcher. You know what? Just because I'm kind of feeling it just a little bit now that I have a little bit more context, I'll give it a solid 3.
Yeah, and I hate to sound like I'm copying you, but I'm right there with you. It was maybe a 2 when I watched it in preparation, but talking with you and getting to kind of expand on the character that was Quackenpoker and appreciating some of the subtle scenes that I missed, like Bulbasaur doing the Wile E. Coyote and, you know, the physical comedy with Magikarp and James. Yeah, I'm comfortable with a 3 on that one as well.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. And I'm not going to forget this episode, but I do have some Pokemon pack codes here for you. And let me go ahead and get them here for you. So I will go with the Paradox Rift. I'll give you 3 Paradox Rift codes. This will be 62Z7QHJK9642X. Next one, 64MVRHCP6CLYM. Next one, 64RWQ7J7HYPRM. First come, first serve for these codes, everybody. And if you didn't get it this week, you can try again next week, everyone. But I've already told you on a previous episode, it's probably best to have your game open when I'm telling you these codes to try to punch it in instead of writing it down. That's probably the quickest way that you'll be able to punch in these codes. But outside of that, I'm going to do a small housekeeping real quick. And Doug, I'm sure you'll second this. Again, hit that subscribe button on Spotify because they are the official sponsor of this podcast, along with any subsidiaries that come in under Spotify. And if you're feeling extra generous, go ahead and subscribe to us on Patreon at patreon.com/everypokemon. You guys are what keeps the lights on over here on our show and has us come back every week to do more episodes. Doug, do you have anything else that you would like to add for this episode?
No, I would like to second, you know, any support you want to give is greatly appreciated. We feel like we give very good value for your money if you do choose to subscribe to Patreon.
Yes.
You know, there's always that possibility of you getting on an episode, which we thoroughly enjoy our chats with Grant, and we also have
another
new subscriber coming on here right around the corner.
Yes, absolutely. And you'll be able to hear that episode, I believe, a week after this one. So next week, yeah. You'll have your next episode featuring a new Patreon subscriber that we have. And then the week after that, as long as everything goes accordingly, we will have Grant on. So that will be the next two episodes here for you. Anything else that you would like to add, Doug? Any other housekeeping?
No, I was very happy to, you know, get to carve out, you know, an hour and a half to knock this out. I feel like this format is really advantageous for us as creators.
Yes.
I hope, you know, you as the listener get, you know, enjoyment out of it. I personally, I'm maybe a little selfish and being thankful that I didn't have to spend an hour and a half watching Food Fight.
Thankfully. But just a small reminder. So we have two more of these mashup episodes. These mashup episodes are going to continue afterwards. But after we are done with these next two episodes, we are going to be diving into Pokemon Horizons, everybody. So people that are wondering when that coverage will start, it will start sometime in, I believe, towards the middle or the ending of May is what it's shaping up to be. For our full reviews on Pokemon Horizons. And again, we still haven't locked down how we're going to be doing those episodes, but most likely you'll be getting more than one of those episodes, each Pokemon Horizons. It'll kind of be a small discussion. We might keep up the same routine that we're doing right now because those episodes kind of blend into each other, so it's a little easier to do those. But we will see when it comes time, but we have about a month left before you guys get those episodes. So that is something to look forward to. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode, because at some point we will be going over Horizon episodes that have not even aired here in the US yet. So that's something to look out for as well. Would you like to add to that one, Doug?
No, I like you said, I think, you know, it's kind of an open discussion in terms of how we're going to cover, but I do like the idea of maybe, like, because I know in terms of Horizon, I know the first two episodes off the rip are a two-parter, so I would like the opportunity to cover that in one shot if possible.
Yeah, and I know this might be an off-podcast topic, but just a heads up to you, Doug, each episode rolls into the next because what I've noticed is before every single episode of Horizons, they actually review the episode before to kind of catch you up to speed as to what's going on. So that kind of helps as well. So, all right, go ahead and give your goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Professor Chris G telling all of you we will be back next week with a special episode with one of our Patreon producers. Have a good night, and we'll see you then.